Good evening. Welcome to Making It to the Finish Line radio show. I am Gladys Pierce, founder, CEO of Making It to the Finish Line, along with
Cassandra from Big Wheel Smokehouse.
Well, how are you tonight, Cassandra? Seems like it's been ages since we've been on the air.
It has, now that we're here on Tuesday instead of on Wednesday.
Every week, my God, this is really, I miss my audience listening and what have you. What about yourself?
I miss everyone as well. It seemed like it has been a very, very long time. We was going weekly, now we're going every other Tuesday now instead of every Wednesday. But the same time, 7 to 8.
I think we may have to go back to every week.
Oh, no.
I miss doing this.
Okay.
How was your weekend, Cassandra?
My weekend started off pretty shaky. Had a pop-up Friday. And it was more to desire, to tell you the truth. It was a bit much. I didn't think I was going to be able to make the pop-up because one thing after another was going on, was happening. And I just was ready to just give up, to go to the pub. A movie called me and got me together. And I was able to do what I had to do. We went to the pub as family.
Oh, as a family affair.
Yes, yes.
And how did that work out?
That worked out pretty good. That worked out good. And then Saturday, I don't think I did anything Saturday. And I just relaxed Sunday.
You just relaxed Sunday.
Yeah. What about you?
Did I see you Sunday?
Yes, I
know. It looks like you're coming over on a regular basis now, especially after you kicked me out that time.
I come over on a regular basis because every time you move so far, and it seemed like now that you moved the first, it seemed like I come over more.
Yes, it does.
But I just try to make Sunday be our day for us to get together and, you know, do family.
Instead of me dropping over.
Right. Instead of you just dropping over, I figure Sunday would be a good day for us to visit.
Oh.
Maybe it would be even better if you would have, like, Sunday meals ready for us or something when we come.
Sunday meals?
Yeah. Have some cooked. I mean, it could be dessert. It could be anything. Just have something.
Okay,
for
I'll make sure to have a
the diet pop or diet juice.
Okay, I'll make sure to have some diet weekend. But you know, I was under the weather for a week or so.
True.
I lost my voice, and I tell you, you don't appreciate your voice until you lose. And I'd be saying to myself, how do people who really can't talk? I mean, your voice is so precious. I was just like, oh my God, I can't talk. And then guess where I was voice at? At a school, my first day there, fourth graders, I'm in there telling them, I'm not going to talk over everybody's voice. I'm not going to be raising my voice, taking Sandra tips. You know, the just don't be hollering. And, you know, the more I said, I'm not going to talk over your voice. I'm not going to be doing any hollering. And the more they talked over your voice. The more they talked over my voice. And before I knew it, I could not talk.
Wow.
And they'd be talking, teacher, what happened to your voice? I said, I can't talk. I literally could not talk.
Wow.
That was the worst experience.
I'm sure.
To not be able, you know, to converse with the students, you know, to give them their lessons. It was just awful.
I bet it was. I bet it was.
And it's gone for over a week.
Wow.
But I couldn't go in party. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't talk.
Because it was under the weather. Did you feel bad?
Yeah, I felt bad. I felt like I was lost without being able to talk. So people, you really need to appreciate your voice because it is terrible to not be able to talk. And you know, we take so many things for granted. Be glad that you can talk. That's all I can say. But Friday, Of course, you know, I got back into the groove of things, came down to the show place to get my dance on. I think I may have danced maybe once, twice.
Oh, you're falling off.
Right, I'm falling off. It was okay, but then it'd be cold. You know, they say when you know we get together,
you're supposed to make heat.
Supposed to make heat, but that wasn't the case. And then Saturday, what did I do Saturday? Oh, you know, I got this big event coming up Saturday, so not the rim running for that, but the breast cancer awareness luncheon that
okay.
we're having.
Okay.
And we have 10 survivors this year. Last year it was 13. I went back to count how many we had.
It was a teacher, one of my Facebook friends. She's a high school teacher. She noticed that a young lady was feeling kind of down and wanted to do her work, so she asked the young lady what was the problem. And when she talked to the little girl started crying and was letting her know that her mother, because the teacher kept on stressing about going for the mammogram, the girl kept on hounding and hounding her mother to go get a mammogram. Mother finally went and got a mammogram, found out she had stage 4 cancer.
Oh, God.
The mother did not know how to communicate with the daughter. I don't know. I just know she's in high school. I don't know what grade she's in. So she texts the young lady the information.
The mother did.
Text her saying thank you for pushing her to go get the mammogram because she was listening to her teacher. And because of that, she found out she was stage 4. And she didn't know any other way how to tell her daughter that she had stage 4 cancer. So she texted her, and I guess she texted her while she was at school or whatever. And the girl showed the teacher. And at the end, she told her that she loved her. So my question is, how could she have handled it different? Because, you know, one way of hearing cancer is already scary.
Right.
But to hear stage 4... you're even more devastated. And she's saying, you know, could be the end for her, but I know I've read research of different people's stories. A lot of people who have had stage 4 cancer have beat it.
Right.
But, you know, could she have did it another way, or did mother think that that's the best way to communicate with youth is through text messaging? Was it best for her not to look at her face-to-face when she told her that? I mean, that's a lot to handle.
Yes, it is a lot to handle, but maybe it was, in the mother's mind, it was probably easier for her to not have to look at.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, her
easier?
Daughter, you know, face her reaction, the hurt, the not knowing. It could have been a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she figured that texting her, she was with her peers.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher, you know, the teacher was concerned. So maybe she felt as though that by her being around, you know, all of these people,
mm-hmm.
it would be easier for her daughter to grasp it. But again, you know, the text messaging, it really takes away from that personal interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Technology has gotten so where, you know, people...
I mean, but we really not know where this mother is at.
Exactly.
In her mind.
Right.
You know, in her mind, I'm just speaking on... She's thinking this is...
Right, about stage 4. And I read, too, where some people that had stage 4, that they have beat it.
You know. And so I think what you're doing, clearing the survivors and breast cancer people, I mean, I think it's good because, you know, to let them know that you're not alone. And I can imagine the struggle
right.
that they go through to make it to become a survivor. Because they just had the big breast cancer wipe, and I know sometimes they feel like their family is there, but you know when somebody acknowledges you,
right,
and to give you something to let you know that you know, hey, you beat this, or you're beating this. I think that's really a great thing. So to have that Saturday is really,
it's really celebrating
time.
Them.
Right.
And they're being recognized, letting them know, like you said, that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they are to be commended because, you know, we all are sad looking in. We don't know the struggles that they have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Or
if they can keep food down. I mean, I watch a lady that I watch, and she's had cancer 3 different times.
Mm-hmm.
And to see her spirit, she don't let anything get her down. She was able to see her daughter get married a couple months ago.
Wow.
I was pregnant. I pray to God that she'd be able to see her first grandbaby. But she has beat cancer 2 other times. I don't know if it was the same cancer that came back, but this is the 3rd time. And when you see her spirit, she don't let anything get her down. Even though she's taking us on a journey when she has to go to Chicago, take on the journey, it was different, you know, the different treatments. She does hair, and you know, when she can't do hair, she feels really down. And then when she's able to get her strength back up, she's back doing her clients. It's like nothing never stops. You know, she's moving. When sometimes my leg just hurt.
Girl, tell me about
it. And I'm complaining. This one has survived 2 other cancers, and this is the 3rd time it has come back. And she's still let anything stop. She don't let anything stop her. I mean, and this is women are remarkable. I know
they
have breast cancer.
Man.
He had a friend whose father passed with breast cancer.
And I wish, you know, we could have passed in to come to the luncheon.
I don't know, to be embarrassed or whatever, but
right.
It's not just for, you know, women. Men also have to get checked out depending on, I guess, what goes in family, if they have fatty tissues, you know.
Right.
So it's things that they as well need to check out.
But, you know, everything that they do as far as breast cancer, well, any kind of cancer, is really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I just think more people, you know, should get it because what we're doing, I mean, we're going to have lunch, they're going to be recognized, and then 2 of the individuals, the guest speaker, and then there's a young lady who's going to share information about her journey.
She's a survivor.
Mm-hmm. A survivor. Our survivors.
Okay. And so then also,
we'll be able to go on their journey and hear what they have to say.
Okay.
As far as and what they went through. Because once she just started a foundation, where she breast cancer individuals with financial, you know, if they need financial assistance and what have you.
Okay.
And so I'm really interested in seeing, you know, what her experience was.
Mm-hmm.
And how does she get her funding to help the families.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully Cassandra, you know,
she'll get the phone together.
Right, because it was okay at first. She just had to move it.
Sorry.
But I'm looking
also,
forward.
What else is going on that day? AARP is presenting an award to you for a volunteer award for the things that you have done. And there was 30 nominees, and you were picked out of 30. 1 out of 30, and that was you. And AARP Michigan takes great pride in congratulating Gladys Pearson for the tireless community service volunteer that she does in the community. I think that's pretty remarkable. The different volunteerism that can be made in lives of individuals and in the well-being of the community. How do you feel about that?
I was a little overwhelmed when I found out that our president, Miss White, nominated me.
Okay.
And then when Lady called me, I didn't know what she was calling me for.
Wow, Miss White didn't let you know?
Uh-uh.
Wow, okay.
And the lady was saying that this was the most prestigious award, and I'm like, oh, wow. And she asked me a few questions, but when I read the press release, I said, Miss White, I didn't give them any information. Miss White gave them everything that they needed.
Wow.
And then when the man called to interview me that did the press release, it was really overwhelming for somebody to be calling up saying, well, we need to get a quote from you to go in the press release.
Okay.
So it's really exciting.
Wow. We just wanted to let you guys know, if you want to call in and say hello, let us know how we're doing, that you're happy that we're back on the air, call 646-378-0378. Once again, 646-378-0378. BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. This is where we're at every Tuesday. I'm sorry, every other Tuesday.
First and fourth Tuesday of each month. And to me, that's kind of long to be away from our listeners.
The schedule says life change. Yes, it does. Spirit.
Yes, it
life
does.
Change. So this is where we're at. So again, AARP. Possibilities. Was given Gladys this award, and I think it's really remarkable. They selected you out of 30 people. I think it's really great, the things that you have did over the
more years. Than 30 nominees.
Okay, mother, more than 30.
And, yeah. And you know what the overwhelming is? It's only one per state.
Wow.
So I selected for Michigan.
Right, right. That's a thing.
Yes, it
is. That's
a thing. So I'm excited about that, but it's still, I don't want to take away from what our luncheon is about Saturday. It's about our breast cancer survivors.
That's true. That is so true.
We want to make sure, you know, we don't lose focus of that.
Right.
And that's what I told the lady. Even though it's, you know, the luncheon and everything, it's still all about our survivors and them being recognized.
Right. Yeah. That is true. That is so very true. That's going to be a big day. That's a long day.
Yes, it is.
And the luncheon starts at what time?
1 o'clock p.m. at Earshow Place, 2140 Holbrook.
How much are the tickets? You still have tickets available?
Still have a few tickets. They're $10 each. And those who are listening on Facebook, if you would like to come out, feel free to come out and join us.
Okay.
Because I'm hoping that all of my children are here.
My goodness, how many do you have?
Three. And my siblings, which I know my brother won't be having an adventure in Georgia, but he has given me his well wishes.
Okay.
Since he won't be here.
Right, right. It's always
but
nice.
Right, right. I understand business.
Things he has to do.
Right, right. Running his own company and all of that. But it should be very exciting. And I know it's gonna be exciting for the our honorees. Yep. They're gonna be, you know, and we're going to have a little trinket for them.
Well, that's always nice.
Yeah.
So what else is going on, Gladys?
What else? We're still recruiting for our Cotillion program. We'll be recruiting through December.
Okay.
We've been trying to do since 2009 is bring back the tradition of cotillion. Cotillion used to be a big thing in the African American community, and for some reason, it was gotten away from for whatever reasons. And you know, I did a lot of research, but it's always been for the middle class, the middle class young ladies, and I felt as though that any young lady who wants to experience the tradition of Cotillion should be had that opportunity, because I think it's a real, real good opportunity for them.
What do you think that they're going to walk away with?
They're going to walk away with knowing that they're special and that they don't have to validate in any sort of way, and that whatever they put their mind to, that they can do anything. Now we see,
hey Tony,
black airline pilots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, women are doing some great things, and our young ladies need to know that, hey, I can do anything. Look at Miss Pearson. I mean, she has her own nonprofit. Miss Pearson, you know, no, we don't want them to be like us, but we want them to know they can do anything they put in mind.
And what are some of the challenges that you're having trying to recruit?
I think parents don't feel as though that. I really don't know how to word it. Now, we know that they'll pay for cheerleading, they'll pay for PAL, but when it comes to something like this, maybe they don't think that that's important in a youth life, but it really is, because even when they go to college, they look at these extracurricular activities.
Right.
They want to see, you know, if the person is well-rounded.
Okay.
What have they contributed to their community? And these are the things that we teach them in the program.
Okay.
Yes, it's a big commitment. Yes, it is. But then when you start talking about money, I think that's where everything just
falls apart.
It falls apart.
Okay.
Even when we get out the scholarships, you know, the parents didn't have to pay the full cost for the program. And they still, you know, that was money. Right. They had a problem. That was just money that just went down the drain. The kids came on time, and that was it.
Wow.
Well, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to give up, because
okay.
I still feel as though we've critiqued the program, trying to add different things to make it more exciting.
Okay.
But we need to add other things that are interesting. Okay, the cheerleading. And, you know, my question is all that. What does cheerleading, what can they do with cheerleading in the real world?
I don't think that's the way that you should be approaching it. It's the generate moms like to see their daughters out there. I don't know, cheering. They, I mean, that's something that's been going on for years. That's what mothers like to put their kids into. They like to put them in cheerleading. They like to put them in dance. They like to put them in modeling. So those are the things that you're gonna have to try to figure out. How can you incorporate those into your program? You have to be willing to change
right
with the time.
Right.
You got to be willing to change with what's going on. If this is what parents is into, even though you're still going to do your etiquette, you're going to still do your regular program, but you got to bring something that's going to grab. And that's what you want to do. So that's how we've talked about the cotillion. We've talked about the event that's going to be happening on this Saturday, which is the Breast Cancer Awareness
Luncheon,
and we're also, Gladys is going to be getting her award from AARP, which is really a great thing. And right now, we really want to talk about what's going on at DPS.
Oh, wow. How interesting.
We want to talk about 300 teachers, they're short. They said they had 100, and they're still looking for 200 certified teachers. And so you ask yourself, why? Why is the school's short staff? 50 kids to a classroom. I personally don't feel that that's acceptable. So years ago, I took my kids out of DPS, and I am a taxpaying SIT resident. So I still think so, even though my kids do not attend DPS, but I still pay school taxes on my property taxes.
Okay.
Baby boom But if you own your own home and you pay property taxes, you are paying school taxes as well. Baby boomers need to step up. Even parents who get local with DPS need to step up, because it's unacceptable for 50 kids to be in one class with one teacher. How can they teach them? You can elaborate on that, Mom. You were subbing. How can that be possible? How can you do
it's
it?
It's not possible. I mean, you're really the disadvantage to children, because, say, for instance, you're in a lower grade class.
Tony, she's not going to give up. We were just talking about the program, just, you know, seeing different things she can do for the Cotillia. Oh, she's not giving up. You know this ain't going nowhere.
But getting back to the school thing, you have 35 kids, little kids.
Okay.
And half of them don't know how to sit down.
Okay.
So how can you teach and be effective when you constantly, sit down, I told you don't get your seat. I don't see you, I don't hear. Now, this is what I was doing. I don't see you, I don't hear you.
Wow.
Get back in your seat. I don't, I'm not talking to anybody. I don't hear you, I don't see you. And you got 35 little ones. Teacher, my name is not teacher. I told you what my name was. How can you effectively teach?
So you saying 35 kids, but they're talking about 35 to 50.
The kids, it's impossible for the children to get the education that they need with that many kids. It's impossible.
I feel at this point, we need to hold people accountable.
Okay.
Because it's not about the kids anymore.
No, it's not.
It's not about kids, because if it was kids, 50 kids in the classroom, if my child was still going to DPS and it was 50 kids in the classroom, you know I'm up at their school every day.
Yes, because she's up there anyway.
I'm up at their school every day. I'm up at school every day. I'm coming to give a prime example. School my daughter goes to offer tutoring.
Okay.
They said tutoring was supposed to be 3 days off. No one know when tutoring starts. The secretary told me it's up to each individual teacher. So then I told her, if it's up to each individual teacher, why have tutoring not started yet? So I called and left a message with the principal. No response. I understand the principal has, I know she got a lot of students. I get all that. So pass my information on to your three vice principals.
Okay.
No phone call yet. Call, left a message with the teacher.
No,
the teacher
no.
Who she need the tutor with is ma'am. No phone call. So the only choice I had was to call the superintendent's office. Because I couldn't get no response in the main office. I called superintendent office, principal called me back, the teacher called back, and even the counselor. I had to call the counselor, and the counselor called me back. Because we don't want things to get so far out of hand that now she can't catch up.
Right.
I'm trying to do this 2 weeks prior to then the progress report come out. And I'm like, come on. She's important to me. We got 50 kids in the classroom. It's just no way possible
that they go get the education that they need.
There's no way possible.
The classroom learning is impossible.
We got to hold people accountable.
But parents, it can't be one parent or two parents.
Because they're not going to listen.
Right. Everybody paid property tax, paid at school tax. And they have a right to voice their opinion.
And I think it's more baby boomers.
Oh, yeah, the baby boomers.
They
yeah.
Do not have kids in the school system anymore. Their kids are gone.
But they have grandkids probably.
Oh, not have grandkids.
Well, that's true.
And if you pay property taxes, you are paying that school tax. You have the right to say something. It's that simple. crazy to have 50 kids in the classroom to one teacher. It's impossible. I don't care what anyone say. It's impossible for you to do your job properly and have 50 kids to one teacher.
Right. I mean,
you got kindergarten up to 12th grade.
Right, and just picture your man taking 35 and they going down the hall acting like little Indians.
And that's kindergarten. So each grade, it's just impossible. And then they said that the vice principal and the counselors is going to be taken out of their position to go teach.
Yeah, I saw that on the
So who's going to do the counselor and the vice principal job if they're in the classroom? So when it's a behavior problem, who's going to handle that? So, I mean, you got to think about it. If 200 teachers are short, people don't want to be bothered. They don't want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it when I got to holler. Then you got to worry about the parents to come up and jump on you. It was a parent jumped on a teacher in Philadelphia because he took the little girl phone. Their school is cell phone zone free.
That's so she shouldn't
even have the cell phone in school.
Right.
And the only reason why the teacher probably took the cell phone is because the girl had the cell phone.
Right.
So the mother and the father
came up to the school.
Came to the school, followed the teacher, threw a brick in her car, and beat her.
What?
Because she was doing her job.
And that's probably why a lot of school districts can't get teachers. Because who wants to put up with that kind of behavior?
To do your job.
Because
you took someone, you compensated someone's phone.
Because I know every day I was telling the parents. And I know those parents got sick of me. And I got sick of me myself. Because every day I had to say, little Johnny was all over the place. Y'all need to talk to little Johnny when he get home because it's not working.
But you guys, if you want to call in, the number is 646-378-0378. We're with BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. We're here first and fourth Tuesday now from 7 to 8. We used to be every Wednesday, but no longer because my schedule has changed.
And mine changed as well.
So now we're the first and last Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8. But I mean, just what's going on with the school system, it's just really crazy. It's crazy what's going on with the school system. And more parents can stand up. I mean, everybody got to play their role. Everybody got to play their role.
Especially when paying those school taxes.
I mean, I guess, you know.
I mean, there's no reason why you should not have a voice. They're taking your money.
Literally.
And you should have the right to speak up because everybody knows if the classrooms are overcrowded, the kids are not getting what they're supposed to get. It's impossible. The
system have not been good since Arthur Jefferson.
And you're absolutely right. You know how long ago that was?
Once Arthur Jefferson,
downhill.
And you guys there who's listening, you know Arthur Jefferson was one of the best superintendents they had. He didn't play that. He's not there. But so
even when, what's her name, Deborah McGriff was there.
They didn't want her.
They didn't want her, but she took care of business. For that short time that she was there, she took care of this. Everybody else that came on, they just there for the payday.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And it's not about the kids, because if it was about the kids, those classrooms wouldn't be overcrowded. And that's how our kids get left behind, because they're not getting the instructional time that they need.
So many of them fall through the cracks.
Yep.
And then you wonder. And then parents want to come when it's too late. You should be checking your high school students to see
if they have
if
all
they
their
have the right credit. Don't wait till they get in 12th grade and want to come up there then. It's things that we got to do now.
They need to be checking every grade level.
Every grade level.
From 9th grade all the way through 12th grade. And that's how a lot of kids get messed up because
if they need help with reading, don't be ashamed. If you got to do phonics, if you have to do classes on Saturday, and I think a lot of times we as parents, we too busy. But are we too busy to fail our kids? That's what you got to ask yourself.
And not
are you too busy to fail your child?
But not only that, the high schoolers get left behind because parents feel it's so. Oh, they're in high school. But they still have the same problems as if they were in elementary or middle school. They still need their parents to double check because they're still kids. It doesn't make a difference if they're in high school.
I'm just saying that they need to be up to help our kids. I saw something on Facebook where here in Michigan it was a correctional facility where fathers were seeing their kids for the first time.
What?
Fathers were seeing their kids. So some of the fathers have been in and out of prison for years. You know how many incarcerated people there are in prison? How many kids? They say 30? 3 million?
Wow.
3 million kids, parents are in prison.
And the parents, the fathers have never saw.
Some of them have never saw.
Wow.
And a lot of people was criticizing. It's a prison here in Michigan that's doing this. A lot of people criticized them. And the lady, it was a white woman who started this program. And they asked her, why did you start this program? Because her father had been in and out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And in her life, she did not get to see him much. And it caused a big problem in her life. So she figured if the kids could see their fathers
mm-hmm.
and communicate with them, then the kids may not end up in prison with their fathers.
And may have a good chance at a decent life.
Right. And it was this one little white girl stuck out. Her father had been in and out of prison. And she said, Daddy, you constantly disappoint me.
Mm.
Are you? She was 10. When are you going to get yourself together?
Wow. And that's coming from a joke. Wow.
But the fathers were so excited to see babies.
I can imagine.
They was excited to see their kids. So you got to do whatever you can so that it won't be another 3 million kids, parents in prison. 3 million.
I mean, so, I mean, what do you do in situations like that? You arrange for the kids?
The fathers get to come because it's on good behavior. That's how they were able to see their child on good behavior. Okay. It's so much in the community that we're not doing
mm-hmm.
with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. And so many of them need so many different things.
Well, that goes back to when they say it takes a village. And it does take a village. I mean, even though I may not have any little kids, that's why I do what I do.
It takes a lot. And, you know,
right.
each
and,
year it gets harder
and
harder when you see the kids, when you see the problems that they have, and then you just wonder how they going to get in society.
That's true.
How they going to get it. I always tell kids, if you don't you at another time at school, you're going to be absent
on your
job.
And you know what?
So you need to set the pattern of what you want to do in your school. When you become an adult, you can do the same thing.
And it starts, you have to start when they're little. Just like those little kindergartners, they should have knew how to sit out. No, we're not talking about sit out for 8 hours in a class because we know that's not going to happen. But they should know how to sit out for a certain amount of time. And they should understand when you say, don't get out of your seat. Now, everybody know what that means. So I just took the approach, I don't see you. I don't hear you. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not talking to anybody that is out of their seat.
We just help.
Right.
We have to help them. We have to help them. That's why I stress. I'll make sure that when my kids go to school, I try the same with my son. You know, took about a DPS.
Right.
You got a lot of parents who out there who don't live in the districts that they're sending their kids to. They taking that chance because they want to have an opportunity. But then, you know, things happen. I think you got to put them in VOTEC. You got to put them in VOTEC because college is not for everyone. I didn't think college was for everyone. And then once my son got closer to graduating, I heard everybody else's kids was going to college. So then I started saying, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. But college is not for everyone. He went for 3 years. He did us. That's the way he wanted to be.
And you know what? Now that's one thing I tell kids. When I'm in the classroom, especially with the older kids, and they say, I have to come to school. My parents make me come. Even though your parents make you come, you're not coming for your parents.
Some
you come in, but they, yeah, still, they have to get in their head
right.
That I'm coming where I can have a chance out there in that real world. And that's what I used to preach to those kids.
But you got to tell them, because there again, times is different.
True.
College is not going to be for everyone. And I tell you, if you're going to take up something in VOTEC, you got to know what market is flourish. What market is, you know, the good market. If you're going to go to college, you got to know what's going to take your degree in.
Right.
You can't just take your degree in BS.
Right.
Waste your money. And then you can't get your good job.
Exactly.
That's not what you want to do. You don't want to just take a BS degree because your mom and your daddy told you to go to college. You need to do your research and figure out what is the popular fields out there.
Right, what's in demand.
What's in demand. And the same thing with VOTEC. You got to do the same thing. Because I'm telling you, it's so many opportunities, and I run into sweet people who had the opportunity to go to VOTEC for free, and they didn't do that. Now they're grown, and now they want to go take the same thing that they wanted to take in VOTEC. Now they can pay all this money.
Oh, that just reminded me. Randolph.
They're opening it for adults.
And it's free.
And I'm going to tell you why they're doing that. Because when they built the Little Caesars Arena, they were supposed to have so many Detroiters to work as contractors. The Little Caesars people, they didn't want anyone from Detroit. So they was willing to define millions of dollars because they felt that our residents in Detroit were not qualified. So Randolph took it upon themselves, which did this years ago, offered grown-up adults to go to VOTEC. But they stopped it because they didn't have the funds. But when they build these new things coming up, they want the citizens of Detroit to be a part of it. So if you're not an adult, you will be able to take a heating and cooling, plumbing, you can do all that free now. And back then, you had to not have a diploma. I don't know what the requirement, but you need to check into it. Check into it.
Right, because if you can go for free and be certified to get these good jobs,
you might as well take
advantage of it. Because when I saw it on TV, I said, wow, they opened it up random?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they redid the whole school and program.
I don't know about y'all. I'm getting tired of our race left behind.
I know that's right.
I'm getting tired of our race left behind. I'm getting tired of seeing RIP shirts. I'm getting tired of all this foolishness. And we got to do better.
Right.
We got to do better. There is so many opportunities out there, but we got to read.
We're not equipped for those different opportunities. I mean, there are a bunch of jobs out there we're not qualified for. And whose fault is that?
Ours.
We always want to put the blame on somebody else, but it's ours.
So let our kids tell our kids
right.
What they need to do to be able to be successful
and be employable.
Let our kids know. Tell them how to fill our applications. Tell them the proper way to dress when they go on the job.
Girl, I tell you, I've done a few interviews where the young people came, and I was looking like, I know they didn't come here. They knocking for a job, not a slip. I mean, even when you go to the job fair. When you go to those job fairs, you need to look like you're looking for a job, even though it's a job fair. I've seen people bring their kids. How you gonna get hired? I wouldn't hire nobody that brought their kids.
My testimony was a while ago. When Demetrius was a baby, he was an infant, and I was in a stroller.
Mm-hmm.
I went and applied for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I was filling out the application, and the manager just happened to walk in. This was years ago. It was at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager said, hey, well, since you're here, would you like to come on an interview? And I said, I got my baby in the stroller. He said, that's okay. Come on up here. I'll interview you. He interviewed me at the job that same day with my baby in the stroller.
Because you were determined.
Was determined. So sometimes they might not have a babysitter. You just don't know people's situations.
But it's true.
You don't know. They might not. They need their job, so maybe they can afford to pay for daycare.
Right. And I really shouldn't have even made that statement because I know when y'all was little, I couldn't afford no babysitter, so I tried it. I did get the job with the Detroit Public School System. And I told them principals, if I can't bring my kids here, then I ain't going to be able to work.
Okay, so those people that have
to like, so I have to take that back.
You know, but we just got to keep on telling our young people.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them that, you know, take advantage of the opportunities. Take advantage of VoTech and then the first thing called ODEC. Take advantage of and look up parents. If you have to look up and see what's available at VoTech for your child.
Do it.
Do that. Because they have to take it up in the 10th. Take it from the 10th to the 15th. So if your kid is coming home for them, so go up to the school. Take a little time to go up to the school and see what they offer for VoTech. Go up there and then let your students know in high school it's available. Because that's what my mother did to me. You know, I ain't nothing about cosmetology. And she told me they was having a brand new program at Crock and you need to sign up for it. So, you know, I did what she told me to do, and cosmetology did for me for 12 years. So, parents, if you have to go up there and take the extra step for your kids to let them know what's available at VoTech, do it.
But see, we as parents have to also devote that time. I mean, parenting is not easy. There is no book on how you're supposed to do it as a parent.
Right.
But in reality, you have to make the time. Because if you don't, you're going to suffer down the line, you're going to suffer.
So, parents, if it's number 10 minutes,
right.
Call the school. Call the school and ask them, what opportunities is it for my kids? Ask about the cosmetology. Ask about the tech program. And take it to your kids. Some of the kids have never been inside of their counselor's office. Tell me what. Take my word. Some of them do not even know who their counselor is. Have not been inside their office. So just call the school. If you don't have time to go up there, call the school and see what we have available. And you take it back to your child. You tell them, hey, we're going to sit down and this is what we get ready to see we're going to do. Because a lot of them don't have plans. I remember working in Oak Park and I would see some of those seniors and I would say, my God, you look in their eyes. Some of them do not have plans. Just looking in their eyes. I mean, just hopeless.
And see, and that's another thing, you know, we have to teach our kids. Everything you do, you need a plan. I mean, you can't do anything without a plan.
You need something.
You got to have something. You know, write it down.
You got to have something.
Right.
Because before you know it, you'll be looking up and you'll be 30, and you still saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I mean, it happens every day.
Yes, it does.
It happens every day. And pick a career and not a job.
A career, not a job.
Pick a career, not a job. Because you pick a job, you're just going there, going through the motions. You
right.
Pick a career, it's something that you love doing. And that's something that this lady to my friend. Pick a career, not a job.
Well, that's good.
And I'm going to leave you with this. Every day, Leah asks me, Mom, where you at today? So I'm going to leave this with you guys. Were you great today?
I'm
great today. I'm great every day.
She said, that's what the teacher asked her. Were you great?
And you know, that reminds me, this is my motivation for today. Because we only have,
1 minute,
less than 2 minutes. It says the three C's of life. Choices, chances, changes. You must make choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. Read it again. The three C's of life. Choices, chances, changes. You must make a choice. Listen now. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. And a lot of us, we don't like change, and I'm guilty of that because I never will forget.
Change is good.
This one job I had to have this job. Brand new school. I was the office manager. I was used to the typewriter, but the principal wanted me to use a computer. And I told the principal, I said, Dr. So-and-so, I cannot use this computer. I type faster than typewriter. She said, Ms. Pearson, this is one of the mill schools, the best schools in Detroit at that time. You are going to have to use this computer. I cried because I didn't want to use the computer. I didn't want to go to change. I was to continue to. I didn't want to use the computer. So finally, I didn't have a choice. And you know what? From that experience, I started my own desktop publishing business. I couldn't do it on the typewriter. I learned to do that because I had learned how to use the computer.
Change is good.
Change is good. And that's how a lot of us get left behind, because we don't want to change. Even in, you know, the field that I was in, I had to change. If I hadn't made any changes, I would not be where I am today. Still been there just to, thinking I'm doing, I'm typing 50 words a minute on a typewriter. And if you ask a kid today what a typewriter is, they don't even know what that is. They don't know what a typewriter is.
But change is good.
Change is good. And I'm going to read this one more time. The three C's of life. Choices, chances, changes. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. And this is from Martin Lawrence.
Love it.
When I saw this, the three C's, I got to copy that down. This is my motivation for tonight.
That's right. That's right. So we're just going to do a recap. We're going to do a recap. Breast Cancer Awareness Munching Saturday. If you don't have anything to do, come on out. $10. Get your lunch. Get some information on breast cancer. And also, let's cheer on these survivors.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then Ms. Pearson is getting an award from AARP. And let's try to help babies. Let's encourage them to get some information out to them. And let's just help them.
And encourage them to be in the Young and Elegant Cotillion. Young and Damn. It's not a bad program. Yes, it is a big commitment for the parents, and I always tell parents, don't let your kid tell you what they don't want to do. Because they're a kid. They're you. If this is what you want your youth to be in, then this is what they did. It's non-negotiable. We keep on saying, times have changed, but there's still certain things that never change. Being a youth and being a parent, that never changes. Sometimes, you know, we have to be, you know, stern. But when they get older, they will go down the line and appreciate the fact that you made that decision for them.
That's true. And I just want to end, so I want to dedicate this show to a classmate of mine. She passed away. I think some of you guys heard about it. She was the co-worker who ended up getting killed at Bridgeton Co-worker. And Lorraine went to school, 8th grade at Hutchins, 7th and 8th grade in the same homeroom as Franklin's homeroom. And we found each other back on Facebook, and we would communicate through Facebook. I remember maybe 3 years ago we got back together, and she said that we needed to go to lunch, and it was wintertime, and she didn't like to drive in the snow. And we never did get to go to lunch. So I'm saying to you guys, if someone of you, or they want to do something, or they want to go with them, because you just never know,
right?
You never know. And she left a daughter and a grandson. And you know me, it was just sisters. That this woman is gone, and they had someone else who just didn't care or value life. You can read why her life is gone. It's just crazy. So Lorraine Frazon, we just date this to you. We praying for the family. We praying for her daughter, for the grandson, for her sister. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be real hard, especially the way that you take it from them.
Right.
But you know, we there again. We have to think a little better. We got to think a little better, and you know, the actions to react. Is that the right way? We got to think better.
Right.
Okay,
because I mean, you really know these things ain't going to work. And that's why, you know, I told Cassandra, I'm the type of person, I don't care what kind of job I have, I ain't talking to no one. I eat by myself. I eat in my classroom. If they be, hi, good morning. And that's it. I don't get in those cliques and all of that confrontation, because these situations rise up so often. And so keep it to yourself, to me, is the best thing. I don't even, you know, socialize with people after work. They see Miss Pearson in the morning, I may be standing out there in the hall, and if anybody know how I look, they probably don't want to speak to me.
Right.
But like Cassandra said, over substance. And especially when you go home and you going home with malice in your heart, and then come back the next day to take someone's life.
It's not worth it.
Nope. It is not worth it. Well, this is going to end our show today. I tell you, girl, when we start talking, we just, especially Cassandra, she just takes over the show.
I didn't mean that.
But as we said, we come to you each week with words of motivation, inspiration, and information. We want to thank you for tuning in this week. We want you to have a wonderful day. And we will see you on the first Tuesday in November. So take care. And like we said, if you don't have anything to do on Saturday, come on out to Earshow Place, 2140 Holbrook, for the Breast Cancer Awareness Lunch and cheer our survivors on. And that ends our show for today. Yes, these are some of my grandchildren in the background.
Yes.